This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't marry trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Wednesday morning, March the 17th, 2021. The show is DCR. Welcome aboard for the next 3 hours, leading you up to KJZ right here on 98.7 ESPN. I've said it in the past, I hate the Wednesdays, but I'm here for a great show. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. Good morning to you and Rico. Happy New Year to both of you, and happy St. Patrick's Day as well.
Yes, it is St. Patrick's Day. Good morning, Rick. I know you're a big fan of St. Patrick's Day.
I mean, I would love nothing more than to be doing a show. I mean, the morning show kind of kills us, but a nice, nice, delicious Guinness followed by our St. Patty's Day party, some corned beef, some cabbage. Oh, this is when I usually act up. This is Canty knows. This is the day I usually act up. This is when the boss says, hey, go be a clown. Go give away prizes.
That's right. And if the boss ever says, go be a clown, you have no issue in following through with that request / demand.
Yeah, I'm running karaoke, I'm shotgun beers, all you name it, I'm doing it today.
Yeah, it takes all of you just to make sure that Rico doesn't run into a door full speed without actually seeing that it's actually a door.
Yeah, you need someone to like go around with you and take care of you when you decide to act up.
Yeah, but here's the beauty.
Like a
chaperone. Well, Canty was supposed to, here's the thing though, this is why Canty and I have a hard time going out with each other, because we're like the Jets. We go all gas, no brakes. Now, we're supposed to be each other's chaperones, but by the time the actual night hits, we're both so out of it that we can't, who's taking care of who?
Yeah, but there's supposed to be like a designated, almost for lack of a better term, designated driver, and neither one of you is willing to take on that role and responsibility.
Yeah, but who wants to be the guy that's not having any fun while everybody else around him is having fun?
I get that. But if you agree that this is the role I'm going to play, then I think you need to follow through with that role.
Well, listen, nobody's ended up in jail or worse. Rico and I, even though we might get banged up together, we have a good time and everybody gets home safely at the end of it.
Yeah, we don't get hurt.
I'm just saying.
No, we don't get hurt.
You almost got hurt. You walked into a glass door.
Yeah, but I give them credit. The cleaning crew at MetLife did a fantastic job.
It's immaculate.
There wasn't a spot on that glass. Right into it, like a bird, right into the glass window.
Higher than to work in your home, huh?
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Canty and I don't get hurt. Other people around us could. Like, RJ Santillo almost paid the price for Canty and I being out of control.
You're not going to let that go. You keep bringing that up, Rico. Just let it go, man.
What?
It was
no,
a Christmas
I don't
party.
Even know that I know the story. What happened to poor RJ?
It was a Christmas party a long time ago.
Oh, wait, is
long,
this where you tried to show him pass rushing techniques?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I was at that party. I couldn't believe that was happening.
Doing swim moves. It was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
One of my highlights, and not to mention the fact, it was that same night that Canty and I dominated shuffleboard.
Oh, we were great.
Oh, my god!
Bottles of Opus, Camus. We were getting everything from Pete.
How about Pete, too, yesterday? Which sales sells everything. No, you'd stop yourself.
By the way, for those that aren't listening to the show, that aren't at the station, Pete is our sales manager, and he was very offended with the shots that I guess you took about the sales staff here at 98.7 ESPN.
You see, but it touched the nerve. You see how quickly he came to the defense?
Oh, that's right. Immediately. I haven't heard from him in years, and all of a sudden, I'm getting, how dare you take shots at the sales staff, right?
I can't wait to see what his bangs look like when we see him again.
Oh, he's going to look delightful. Absolutely delightful. I'm doing everything I can to avoid Nick's conversation. I could see your face already. After the Nets loss, I said nothing negative. I felt fine. I thought they played well, represented themselves, fought to the end. I was frustrated with the loss last night. That's a game you got to figure out a way to close out if you're the Knicks.
Well, I know what you're saying, but that's another prime example. The Knicks, they just don't have enough, especially without Derrick Rose and Elfrid Payton. They don't have enough. I guess now, just so the show knows, we got this from Mike Breen yesterday. I thought this was interesting information. It's pronounced Thibodeau, but apparently he goes by the nickname of Tibbs.
Which doesn't make all that much sense.
No, it does not.
I mean, the way he's coaching his team, call the man whatever the hell he wants to be called. He's doing a great job. But that being said, Rico, to your point, they just don't have enough, man, when it comes to being able to close out games, when it comes to be able to make those decisive plays in the fourth quarter. The Knicks don't have any guys that are playmakers, man. Outside of Julius Randle, there's nobody that they can consistently rely on. Derrick Rose was supposed to be that guy, but he's on the shelf. Alfred Payton is a guy that you can get minutes off of, and you could, you know, move IQ back to the bench and have him be instant offense when you go to your second unit. But you don't have that luxury right now. He's been forced into the starting lineup. And as a result, the guys that you have coming off the bench, they're really not going to give you any punch offensively. You got some points out of Alex Burks last night, but, I mean, when it came down to the fourth quarter, those guys in that second unit, they really didn't come through at the beginning of that fourth quarter, and that's when the Sixers bench with Matisse Thybulle and Korkmaz, they did their damage, and they got that team back in that game.
He's annoying, by the way, that Korkmaz guy. I don't like him at all. He was very good last night.
No, he was good. I mean, Seth Curry in the third quarter, he was lights out in the third quarter. And then, I mean, you saw at the end of the game. I mean, Tobias Harris, I mean, he was able to close out the game for the Sixers. And then, listen, the Knicks had a shot, too. I mean, R.J. Barrett has a – I mean, he's in the paint. It's a shot that he normally would hit. He, I mean, hits the front rim, and I mean, that would have been the game, you know, game-tying bucket right there. But, I mean, Alec Burks is not a lead point guard. He's not.
No.
No.
And actually, he had moments last night where he played well. He shot the ball pretty well, but overall, the Knicks just don't have that closer. What frustrates me is not that they lost the game. It's really not. It's that they it felt like they had this game under control. They led almost the entire way. They led by 9 points heading into the fourth quarter. And Chris, you mentioned it. I mean, that second unit, it looks like they've never played offensive basketball before. I mean, I'm sorry. Frank Ntilikina is an albatross on the offensive side of the basketball. He doesn't even hit the rim half the times. I mean, he is a horrendous offensive player.
Dave, I think he's gone 3 straight games without a field goal.
How's that possible?
I don't know how it's possible. He's supposed to be an NBA player, but he's a guy that's limited. And in today's NBA, when you need your point guard to be a creator, I just, you know, he leaves a lot to be desired. And as a result, that second unit is going to struggle. So, I mean, I don't know where the answers are going to come from. Hopefully it's with those guys getting back healthy, Derrick Rose and Elfrid Payton, and getting back into the rotation. But, I mean, until then, it's going to be an uphill climb, especially when you're playing against the more talented teams in the NBA.
But it's unfortunate. Like, at a certain point, and again, I know Obi Toppin, he's a rookie, but you have to, like, you have to do enough that the coaching staff feels comfortable keeping you on the floor to give your best player a chance to rest for a minute.
Rico is 4-on-5 when he's in the game.
He can't.
It's 4-on-5, man. It really is.
He can't play at the NBA level now. He just can't. I mean, he is lost.
That's a problem then. But that's a problem.
There's a G League going on now, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, do you not think that he would benefit from going there?
Yeah, but who else do you have, though, Dave?
But you don't have him.
You are right now.
He can't play.
Well, that's obvious. I mean, that's clear. And Thibs doesn't trust him. And he can't keep him out there. And unfortunately now, that means that Julius Randle's got to play 41 minutes off of a back-to-back.
Which is a huge problem.
You saw him in the fourth quarter. Julius Randle had 1 point in the fourth quarter.
He looked gassed at the end of that game.
He was done.
And now you're worried about him getting hurt just because of how much they're using him. Like playing those extensive minutes night in, night out, and then the offense going through him every single night where he's the primary focus of the opposing defense. Like, I mean, you worry about Julius Randle dealing with some kind of injury down the stretch. I mean, I don't want to put it out there. I don't want to put it in the universe. But, I mean, that is a concern when players, you know, are asked to do too much and you don't have that consistent secondary score to lean on, especially in the fourth quarter. That can become a problem, man. I'm just saying it's something that the Knicks have to be aware of with Julius Randle.
And when he had that fall last night, Rick, I was just like, oh God, the season's over, it's done, I can't even watch the Knicks anymore. They're going to score 27 points a game. Thank God he got up and it was okay. But immediately when he went down, I was panicked.
Yeah, but that's not hyperbole. If he gets hurt, if he misses an extensive amount of time, they're done. Their season's over.
The season is absolutely over, 100%. All right, it's Thibodeau when said the full name, and it's Tibbs otherwise?
Yeah, apparently that's where
it's off. Mr. Tibbs.
I don't know. This is going to take a minute. All right, let's listen to Thibodeau, what happened in the fourth quarter last night.
You know, they knocked on a couple threes to close the gap right away to start the fourth. We knew it would be a hard-fought game. That was basically it. I thought, for the most part, our defense was very good. But then we let them get loose, you know, to start the fourth. And you really have, you know, the containment of the ball is so critical. And then you also have to close their space quickly and challenge their shot. So they have great shooting on the floor.
I think defensively the Knicks played really well. And down the stretch, they were good. I mean, you can see how much effort they give defensively. The truth is, they just don't have the horses to go offensively with any of these decent teams.
Dave, they got outscored in the fourth quarter 26-14.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be hard to win games when you're shooting 26% in the fourth quarter. I mean, the Sixers have the best record in the Eastern Conference for a reason. Even without Joel Embiid, that's a really good basketball team, and they're well coached. And they just have more offensively than the Knicks do. And it showed last night in that fourth quarter. When you can rely on guys like Tobias Harris and Seth Curry to hit big shots, I mean, and then you're getting the contributions that they got from their guys on the bench, like that's going to be a tough out, man. The Knicks had it stacked against them yesterday. Second night of a back-to-back, playing the Nets the night before. I mean, everything was working against them, and yet they still had a 9-point lead going into that fourth quarter. You'd like to see them be able to close out that game, but you understand why they found themselves on the losing end.
But when you watch late in games, I mean, the fact that you don't have a guy that you can trust late in games, I mean, you can see it. I mean, how unorganized the offense is late in games.
It looks terrible. It looks like you're watching a team that is anemic offensively late in games.
They got to find a better shot, too. Well, the last shot opportunity, I just didn't love that shot by IQ. And then Bullock has his foot out of bounds off the Randle rebound. I just feel like in those last shot situations, late game execution, I just feel like the Knicks have got to be better than what they've been the past two games.
Oh, Bullock being in foul trouble, too, didn't help.
No. He had four fouls in the first half last night.
And then, I mean, IQ wasn't right. You know, yeah, Burke's playing 36 minutes, which is, I mean, that's as the lead point guard is too much.
Why?
You know
is Derrick Rose still out? I don't understand.
I was just going to ask you that. I have no idea why he's still out. I thought it was an inconclusive test, and he's been negative ever since.
He's been out for forever, it feels like.
Yeah, I don't
get
it.
Wasn't he out before the All-Star break?
And then not having Austin Rivers too hurts. I mean, he's expecting a child, so he's not with the team. I don't know. So how bad is Kevin Knox that he can't play?
He can't even get into the game.
Can't even get into the game. You know who's an enigma? Because he's so, I mean, Ben Simmons is like a point center. Like, he can't shoot.
He can't shoot at all.
He refuses to shoot.
Defensive player. I don't know if you guys found, I find him very annoying. He's constantly complaining.
Yeah, but he's a little bit annoying.
I mean, Mike Breen on the telecast last night is like, and Ben Simmons is unhappy with that, and he doesn't like this, and his arms are up genuflecting for this reason. It never stops with him.
Yeah, it's not an easy watch.
But he's an incredible talent, though.
Great player.
He's an incredible talent.
He's a great defender. He really is. He's a 7-foot point guard.
Exactly. He's a point center is what he is. He pretty much plays center. But he can dribble dish. I mean, he's got a sick hand. I mean, he's got a good handle.
Imagine if he could shoot the basketball.
No, forget it. I mean, if he could shoot at all. He just doesn't. I mean, dude, he won't even shoot in front of teammates in practice.
Which is such a weird thing.
I mean, it's interesting.
He's one of the great NBA players we have. He's an absolute
How
all-star.
Bad does it have to be where he can't shoot
right
in front of his teammates in practice?
What do you think? He's embarrassed?
That has to be what it is, though, David, doesn't it?
So how in the world is he ever going to shoot in a game if he's embarrassed to shoot in front of his teammates in practice?
I don't think he is, Dave.
So he's going to go his entire career just refuse to shoot from outside the paint?
Well, how many years has he been in the league, Dave? Five, 6 years?
Got to be.
Yeah, so
yeah,
I mean,
I think this is it, Dave.
If he's still refusing to shoot now.
it's weird.
Still an all-star caliber player.
He's a great player, but it's weird that he just refuses to shoot the basketball.
Well, that's the weird dynamic with this team, though. I mean, your inside presence, Joel Embiid, is the one that will shoot. Well, I mean, will stretch the floor and shoot threes, mm-hmm. and the guy who's supposed to be your point guard refuses to do it. Would rather play in the paint.
Yeah, it is a little bit strange. All right, so what do we have coming up today? Mike Tenenbaum. Now, a couple things on Mike Tenenbaum. A, he's supposed to join us at 6:30 this morning. We'll see if, in fact, that happens. Now, 6:45, Stump Rothenberg. 7:30, Dan Graziano. But here's the thing with Tenenbaum. I believe from his posts on Twitter yesterday that he's going to defend himself for not showing up and will have a built-in excuse ready to go. My question to you, Rick, is are you going to let him off the hook for that?
No, I can't let him off the hook. I mean, he let us down. He had the whole 7 o'clock hour. Didn't have to wait till he had the tape for Get Up. I mean, listen, it could be a reason. I'm going to hear him out because I, you know how much I love Mike, but I have a hard time believing that I can let him off the hook for this.
Here's what he's going to say. And I guess factually he's not wrong, but this is a very weak excuse. So we had him booked for 7:30. He was supposed to go on get up at 7:38. He's going to say he was ready and by his phone at 7:30 and was going to give us 7 minutes of conversation.
No, but that's not what we want.
Listen, I agree with you. I think it's fugazi, completely fugazi.
Yeah, this is like sexy time now with my wife. It's like I'll give, she'll give me 3 minutes. I don't want three minutes.
I mean, really, that should be more than enough for you.
In theory, it's probably more than enough, but yeah. I want all of it. I want to get back to old Rick. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like the whole...
You're cleaning out the DVR in the third minute.
I haven't cleaned up.
Wow.
You should see my DVR right now. It's a mess.
Is it?
By the way, too. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to bring it up
now. What percent is available on your DVR right now?
6%?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's because Cassie refuses to erase shows. Like, we're going to go back and watch them.
Wait a minute. You watch a show, finish it, completion?
No.
And she won't delete it?
No.
Oh.
No. What happened is, during the course of having, you know, the three kids, is that we were into a show, and then because all of a sudden now we have no time. You know, our time, every 3 months, our time slot changes, so my schedules get screwed up. So I have, like, we didn't finish watching Suits. So I have, like, I don't know, 40 episodes of Suits on the DVR. I mean, you know, like, there's a bunch of shows that we haven't finished yet.
I have shows I didn't know existed on the show FBI, which is taking up hours on my DVR.
Yeah, but you won't. I'm like, listen, Cass, we can watch these other places. Like, we don't need to keep them on the DVR. They're available. Like, these seasons are available other places. She's like, but what if they're not? I'm like, I'm telling you, they are.
She gets. I kind of respect her tact though. She gets nervous.
Yeah, but you should see my DVR. Like, my DVR on my gym TV is every time I watch something.
You guys have separate DVRs?
Well, yeah, my gym TV I had to make separate because, you know, I got to DVR my own stuff and everything else. So I always clean that thing. That thing's beautiful. It's gorgeous. I clean it out all the time. Watch a Knicks game. I save it for an extra day just in case I want to go back and watch it. Then I erase it, and it looks great. Her DVR is a disaster.
Her, what did you get them for their wedding? His and hers DVRs?
Yeah, I mean, I got Christmas movies still on there that we haven't watched that she still wants to watch.
It's time to move on.
It's too much.
It sounds like a bit much.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Thankfully, that was a nice long commercial break. Rick could get his recyclables out.
Tomorrow night, Dave.
To the curb.
It's tomorrow, you know that. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's recyclables?
Yeah, so tomorrow I'll have to find a break where I can take everything out.
Because God forbid you do it the night before, right?
No, recycling is not tomorrow. Sunday night is recycling and garbage.
Garbage picked up twice a week?
Oh, yeah.
You got something good happening there, huh?
It's fancy over there, ain't it, Dave?
No, we need it. I've never seen, like, all I do is dishes and take out garbage. We create more garbage in dirty dishes than
I did so many dishes yesterday. Oh, I was unbelievable.
Then our washer machine broke. We just got that fixed. Been a nightmare over here.
Dave, are you bragging at how you did dishes yesterday?
Yeah, I emptied the dishwasher. I did dishes. I did pots.
You emptied the dishwasher? That's not doing dishes.
No. I did double duty, Chris.
Okay.
I emptied the dishwasher, and did a full sink full of dishes.
Okay.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I'm willing to give you credit.
I'm doing pots.
What you
I'm
like
doing
to do
pans?
You choose to do pot in your free time. That's up to you.
No,
just don't
not
bring that
pot. No, which is just about legal, by the way. Anyway, but no, not that. But I'm doing. I mean, there was a dirty soup pot left on the stove. I scoop it up, like a fumble waiting to happen. Scoop it up, bring it over, clean it out, rinse it off into the dishwasher. That's what I do.
I'm sure Sherry would see. That's the key, Chris. Here's another little tip for when you're eventually married is. Doing stuff like that when the wife doesn't actually ask you to do it.
That's right.
Like interesting.
Taking the initiative.
Okay.
Yes.
They love that.
So
big
household
initiative.
Chores, even things that seemingly fall into her purview, if you take care of them and she's not expecting
right.
it, that's how you get points.
Especially
exactly right.
when she's busy.
Okay.
Like if she's busy and you swoop in like a Superman kind of guy, now you're in good standing.
Okay.
Early risers
right.
will get work. I don't understand. Why does that not go away? And why do we not have one thing where Chris steps on himself? Why? Where is that? Something. Chris, say something ridiculous today, please.
No, we do have some stuff. Dave.
I don't
we
think
got
so.
Some no, we've got some stuff. There's no question about it. the whole Alex Rodriguez thing, when I stumbled over his name about three or four times, we got that. That's a part of one of the regionals.
That took place when? That was like 2016.
Yeah, that was pre. I think that was pre Dave Rothenberg. Yeah. Actually, yeah, it was a long time.
You almost had to 4 years. Buy out Alex Rodriguez.
Exactly.
That is See? Good though.
Exactly.
But it never gets brought back.
What? It's a part of a rejoin, Dave. What are you talking
about? 2017.
I mean, he did listen. I mean, in all fairness to Canty, I mean, he did ruin Lorenzo Carter's draft day.
That's true.
Lorenzo Carter, linebacker. Clemson.
Exactly. We all take turns, Dave. We all take turns. It's not just you. We're not bullying you. Stop playing the victim.
The year head to 100 flowers. Shut up, really. Now, in every relationship, there's a short list of forgivable offenses.
All right.
So 800-919-3776. Sam, to give me the open. Go.
A seven, veteran.
Seven.
All right, here we go. Good Thursday morning. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday. A lot to get into today. Start of the second half for the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets tonight. You know what that sounds like?
That sounds like the greatest thing ever.
No. It's like when I do, because they don't let me do multiple reads now when I record reads. So sometimes I have the tendency like going really fast. So then when they go to cut up the read, they have to slow it down because I'm going too fast. So it sounds like I'm pausing in between sentences. It's like I recorded that and I was too fast. So they went out of their way to make sure it was slowed down.
Rick, slow it down so that we can have time to edit it properly is what it sounds like. Oh,
big
that is
pauses.
Just
huge
a,
pauses
just
in between words.
Three words. Three word sentences. All right, here we go.
Good Thursday morning.
Good Thursday morning. Not
just
the Wednesday.
Time. Just buying time.
So good. Where is Dave? Where is he? All right. Julius Randle, we know where he is. He's always seemingly on the court. He was asked after the game, how do you feel after playing 85 minutes in the last 2 days? And on top of that, big fall last night in the fourth quarter.
I'm fine. The fall didn't have any effect on me, so I'm fine. And, you know, I'll get my work in and get my body right and feeling good. You know, tomorrow I'll do what I need to do to stay prepared and stay ready and stay fresh. So I'll be fine. You know, the 80, whatever you said, minutes, I don't know how many it is, but like I said, it doesn't bother me. This is why I train the way I do in the summer, push myself to be able to play these minutes at a high level.
Listen, I have a lot of respect for him, and I think he's by far their best player right now. But to say it had no impact on him, I mean, we mentioned it earlier. He was not good in the fourth quarter. You think it's coincidental?
No, he was gassed. I mean, he could say, look, the fall may have not, I mean, he may have been fine after the fall. It scared the hell out of us. I know, mm-hmm, with Knicks fans, because your season is over if he gets hurt. But, I mean, the reality is he took 3 shots and had 1 point in the fourth quarter, and you scored 14 as a team. I mean, you're not going to win a lot of basketball games like that.
No, you're not. But the one thing that you worry about now is just him maintaining this level of health. Because, you know, Rico, when you have guys that are fatigued and they're pushing through it and they're playing all these types, these minutes, like, you worry about injury because of, you know, overuse and guys being asked to do too much. Like, that's got to be a huge concern, man. And the fact that Obi Toppin hasn't come around and hasn't earned the trust of Tibbs, I mean, that's only going to compound the issue. Like, at some point, they're going to have to figure out how to reduce Julius Randle's minutes. Like, you can't ask him to play 40 minutes a night. That's unrealistic.
But I don't know. When you don't have Derrick Rose, I mean, where do you get the scoring from? I don't know. I mean, you see what happens the fourth quarter. You put out Ntilikina. You can't play Kevin Knox. You put out Ntilikina. He's an albatross offensively. You put out Obi Toppin. He shouldn't even be out on the court. Chris, what, I know, and you're right. You shouldn't be playing him that many minutes, but what choice do you have?
Well, Dave, I mean, there's not a lot of great options for Tibbs right now. There isn't. So, I mean, we'll have to see what happens and when those guys come back, keeping in mind the trade deadline is next week. I don't know that the Knicks are going to make any huge moves, but, I mean, they've got to try to fortify this roster and bring in guys that can be reliable scorers down the stretch. They just have to have more. They can't ask Julius Randle to continue to do what he's doing because, Dave, he ain't going to last through the rest of the season if that happens. Like, if playing 40 minutes a night, that's not sustainable. Like, at some point, they're going to have to get somebody else that they can rely on, that they trust, to be able to, you know, score points down the stretch and create opportunities for other guys.
When's the deadline? It's next Thursday,
25th,
right?
25th, yep.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so week from tomorrow. By the way, the loss to the Nets, okay. The loss last night frustrates me. Fine. You better win this game on Thursday. You got Orlando. You have a day off in between.
these are the games you need to win, Rick. You have to win that game on Thursday.
Oh, I think they realize that. I mean, that's you take care of your business, and there'll be games against really good teams that, you know, if they're at their best, you're not going to win. But I understand why you're frustrated. I mean, 9-point lead going into the fourth quarter. They led for most of that game.
That's the only reason. If that's a tie game going into the fourth quarter, I'd be like, all right, you know what? Philly has the closers. They're a better team. That's fine. You led the entire game until late stages.
But they did have the closer, and you didn't. That was the difference. Tobias Harris was able to close out that game late in the fourth quarter, and you had no one to close out.
Correct. I just was hoping that a 9-point lead would have held up in the fourth quarter, and it didn't, and it's frustrating.
No, of course you're frustrated, and I get it. I feel bad for them with how hard they work defensively. I mean, that was a game that you wished it would have paid off in a win. But I mean, just to finish off with, you know, what they're dealing with too, with no Rose and Alfred Payton is, I mean, quickly. Still, I mean, he's a young kid, right? So him as a starter now trying to facilitate the offense, I don't necessarily know if he's there yet.
Yeah, there are going to be some growing pains with that.
So, I mean, when he's off the bench, he can focus on what he does well, which is look to score, right?
Right. You're not as reliant on him when he's off the bench too.
Exactly right. So now, I mean, he's not, you know, he's a starter. Now your bench unit is, I mean, like you said, I mean, Frank's gone three straight games without a field goal.
I don't know how that's even possible, to be honest.
Because he's not good offensively, Dave.
I mean, not good is one thing. You can't score for three straight games, and you're getting decent minutes? It's unheard of.
That's the gift from Phil Jackson that keeps on giving, Dave.
Yeah, the Bermuda Triangle. I know. We get it. But, I mean, there's no reason why. And we can keep going back to, you know, he hurt his calf, and there's no reason why. I don't need him to score. Just be playable. Like, Obi Toppin needs to be playable.
He's not playable. He's not. You put him in the game now, and it's horrendous. Let's be honest.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I'm sitting here looking at my most recent bracket as we speak.
Will you be participating in my pool, or will you be opting out this year?
I don't know yet. I mean, the other day was a wake-up call with how much stress this is putting on me when you leave the house with the house phone as opposed to your cell phone.
Yeah. I see that.
That seems like a sign that maybe it's just too much.
Would Cassie like to participate?
I don't think so.
No?
She's got her hands full. Yeah,
did you extend the offer to her? Because I don't have her email.
I will. I don't think she'll be interested.
Please. Well, you know what? I like Don needs to feel included in stuff just to say no. I'd like her to feel included, so please invite her to the pool.
No, I'll invite her, but you know, I mean, you guys know me well enough with the picks and everything else. Like, this is, I mean, everyone's pretty much involved with whatever ends up happening with
it's
my bracket.
A group family decision?
Yeah, group. I mean, whoever just stops by the house with, you know, you bring over a package.
That's right.
Maybe
any
you.
Vendor that might, excuse me, before you clean out the HVAC system, sir, can you, who do you like in the Gonzaga, the Michigan game eventually?
Yeah, like I got a couple. I'll circle, and like if Amazon swings by, I'll say, "Hey, you big basketball fan? Hey,
before
what do you
drop
think
that off, can you do me a favor? Yeah, I'm in DC. Syracuse going on any kind of a run in this tournament. Rick, Chris, you're involved, right? You're going to play.
I'm getting involved, Dave. By the way, can you remind me when's the deadline for us to submit our brackets?
Friday noon.
Friday at noon.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will take care of that and everything that goes along with that. Rico, are you participating in the challenge?
I can't say one way or the other yet.
I'm disappointed in that, man, because I feel like this is something that we should be doing together as a show.
Yeah, and then we can mock each other when it goes sideways.
Exactly.
See, here's the thing that I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm a loser now.
The odds of doing well are almost none. So why would you beat yourself up if you don't do well? Because nobody does well. Because the person that typically wins the pool is someone that doesn't even know where these schools are.
Dave, you're talking to somebody that expects to win the lotto when they play.
That's a great point.
I mean, so
that's such a bizarro
we
point.
We should already know his mentality.
You have real issues, you know that?
How many times do I need to tell you that? I realize this.
I mean, real issues.
I realize I have real legitimate issues.
Have you talked to anybody about these things?
No. My sister-in-law offered, but you guys told me not to do that. You said that's a bad idea.
Not in the family. No. Find an independent arbitrator and talk to that person.
You just show me to look at my schedule with the kids and tell me when I have time to go see.
I'm sure you can do a Zoom call now with a therapist.
Would you go to therapy with me?
You do a Zoom call? I can't go to the bathroom without them running in.
Yeah, but I think a happier, better version of you is a happier, better version of them.
Yeah, but they don't get a chance to see this version of me. You guys get a chance to see this.
You put on the act when you're with them?
This is like my therapy. This 3 hours is like my therapy.
Okay. So we're here for you.
Yes.
Is there anything you want to discuss today, Rick?
Today,
yeah.
No, not really. I was pretty productive yesterday. I fixed the washing machine yesterday.
I told you about the dishes I did yesterday, right?
You did the dishes. Okay. I tried to fix the toilet, and I made a bit of a mistake.
What kind of toilets does he have in his home that they always
fix? He's constantly fixing toilets. Constantly.
Well, time out. It's not the toilets. It's the people that decide they want to clean
the
toilet.
The toilets.
Well, yeah, because now my mother did the same thing. She flushed one of those brushes down the toilet. I had to fix that one. That was 2 weeks ago.
Wait. She flushed a brush down the toilet?
Yeah, like Cassie did. Remember when we did it live on the air?
I remember when you had to. Yes. But I don't understand. Why do people think that it's okay to flush like objects down the toilet?
I have no idea. I don't know if she thinks it's a special kind of toilet with like some super.
That it can absorb a toilet brush?
Yeah, which is ridiculous. But her first instinct was, you know what? I don't want to go get it. I'm just going to flush it. Yeah,
okay.
So I had to fix that. and then last night the toilet was running, so I just I'm gonna go fix the toilet. So I pulled the top of the toilet out, not realizing that the thing that shoots the water into the back of the toilet was dislodged and it was pointing straight up. So the second I took the top out, it started squirting water all over the wall.
That's great, that having toilet water squirting your face.
Disgusting.
Let's go to Duke in Bergen County. Duke, you're first up. Good morning on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, fellas.
How you doing?
Excellent. Terrible and excellent at the same time. The Knicks are horrible, I think, these days. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. Jay Will actually called it sometime around the All-Star break that they're just going to tank towards the end.
Well, have record-wise. Now, I was frustrated with the loss last night, too. They're 1-3 since the All-Star break. Do you look at any of those losses and say, oh, my God, I can't believe they lost to Milwaukee. I can't believe they lost to Brooklyn. I can't believe they lost to Philadelphia. The one game
you really
needed to win, you went out and you won. So why are you so despondent right now?
I don't think they're making it. The last night's game was the perfect game to show that they can be in the playoffs and play tough teams.
They did show that. Right,
they played tough for 45 minutes and then blank.
What do you mean they had a chance? RJ Barrett had a shot that he usually makes to tie the game up. They're without two point guards right now. Even when Derrick Rose and Alfred Payton are healthy, they're still not great.
See, Duke, you're a terrible fan.
They make the playoffs. I don't know.
You're here already? I mean, you lose three games that you expected to lose, and you're already jumping off the ship. Give me a break. This is what we talk about with New York and how difficult it can be here.
I get you're frustrated, but I mean, this team pours its guts out every single night. They pour their guts out. They leave it all on the court. That's all you can ask. Like, I mean, this is like. You know, getting mad at Milo because he didn't wipe himself right.
Why do you have to call out Milo?
Well, he's trying. But listen, if you have a couple bacon strips, I know you're trying, but eventually we'll clean that up.
Does he feel embarrassed love bacon. When this kind of thing happens?
Does he feel embarrassed?
Yeah. Or
he's not happy about
whatever,
it.
Whatever, Dad.
Well, no, he's not happy about it. He feels shame for a minute.
Uh-huh.
I said, don't worry, buddy. Come on, we'll figure this out. We'll get it straightened out.
Love
just
bacon.
Keep trying.
Make sure
you wash your hands.
I wonder if this is Knicks fans just trying to recalibrate their expectations. Just like they don't want to be disappointed at the end of the year if the Knicks were to find themselves outside of the playoffs. So they're just kind of dismissing the team already at the beginning of the second half.
That's unfair, though.
No, it is. I just think Knicks fans have got to be reasonable. I mean, look at the schedule. We said coming out to start the second half, they had a really, really tough schedule with who they had on the docket. So it's just one of those things now. They're hitting a little bit of a rough patch because they're undermanned going against some really good teams. But the Knicks still have a really good chance at making the playoffs. I mean, they're in the eighth spot. They're a half game in front of Chicago, a game and a half in front of Indiana. And really, the only other team that's in contention in the East is Toronto. That's it. So, I mean, you're talking about 10 playoff spots and 11 teams vying for them. So the Knicks are in a good position. It's just they got to get a couple of things cleaned up and they got to get some guys back.
Yeah, listen, I mean, we said this before the second half even started. This was once they ended up beating Detroit going into the All-Star break, is that coming out of the All-Star break, their schedule was daunting. Second half schedule is daunting.
That's right.
And it's the fourth hardest in the NBA. But as long as they consistently beat teams that they're supposed to beat, which so far in the four games, they've done that.
They have. Listen, I remember talking about these four games, Rick, and you said, Dave, I think they could go 0-4. And I said, well, you can't afford to go 0-4. And granted, it was a shorthanded OKC team, but they went in there and they took care of business. So I ask again what I asked Duke. What game did they lose here that you really expected them to win of the first four games of the second half of the season?
There hasn't been one.
No.
No, there hasn't been one. And, I mean, you're talking about two of the best teams. I mean, you played the three best teams in the East. The teams you lost to were the three best teams in the East.
Yeah.
And outside of Milwaukee, you were right there, late stages, fourth quarter against these teams.
You had a chance to win both of these games.
That's right.
Undermanned. I mean, this is, again, if you're a Knicks fan and you're going to have that kind of mentality that Duke just had, you're not going to enjoy any of this.
You love your own misery, is what it is. Fans like that, they want to be miserable. All right, starting tomorrow, it's the highly anticipated return of the Michael Kay Show's Drop Madness, presented by Wendy's. Have your dials tuned to 98.7 ESPN at 3 o'clock and be ready to cast votes for each matchup at TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Drop Madness, presented by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. Did you see this tweet from Matt Lombardo yesterday, by the
way? Yes.
This was a very distressing tweet. Here, and Matt covers the NFL, has for a long time. Let me read it to you verbatim. Asking around on Sam Darnold, sense I get from scouts, coaches, executives, that the perception of him among fans and some in the media is significantly higher than those inside the league. Quote, "He stinks, bro," says one offensive coach. Added this to a former GM telling me a couple weeks ago that he'd have Darnold as quarterback 4 in this year's class, and I'm not surprised guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tyrod Taylor have signed deals before anything got done with Darnold. So, I mean, chew on that for a minute.
I'd rather not chew on that for a second. I don't like that at all. That's what makes it... That is, in a nutshell, what you just read and what we've heard from people that, I mean, draft experts, former quarterbacks, that, I mean, get paid to break down film and give an opinion about a quarterback. How polar opposite that what you just read is in some of the things that we've heard. Like, we had Mel on, and even Todd has said the same thing. Well, you know, Sam Darnold would be my second-ranked quarterback this year's draft.
Yeah, but
just
that's
behind Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, but Rico, that's them going back 3 years ago and looking at the draft grade that they had on the player coming out of USC versus the draft grades of the quarterbacks in this current class. I don't think they're factoring in everything that's happened in the past 3 years in the NFL with Sam. And I think that's where there's a little bit of a gap in terms of how NFL talent evaluators look at him versus how people in the media and fans look at him. I just think that with Sam Darnold, there's a disparity between the talent and the production. Like, I'm trying to figure out why Sam has more turnovers than he does passing touchdowns in his first 3 years. And if you're Joe Douglas, that's a tough spot to be in because you do have the second overall pick. You do have a pathway to be able to add another young quarterback that could be your franchise guy. You've got to weigh that opportunity versus staying with Sam Darnold and having the conviction to be able to pass on those other options. And I don't think you've seen enough over the past 3 years that would give Joe Douglas a lot of faith that he's making the right decision if he were to stay with Sam Darnold.
I don't understand how you don't adjust your rating, though. Like, yeah,
that's what I mean.
I agree with you 100%. Coming into the league 3 years ago, Sam Darnold got whatever the grade was. Well, you've seen him for 3 years. He's been a subpar quarterback for 3 years, and you can blame the offense, and you can blame Gase, and you can blame lack of talent and weapons and offensive line and all those things. But the bottom line is Sam Darnold, in 3 years in the NFL, has been a subpar quarterback. And I think, and it doesn't feel like a lot of these analysts do that, you have to take that into account when you adjust what Sam Darnold is sitting here today in 2021.
That's what you would expect, but apparently that's not the case.
But why?
I don't know, because they're doubling down on what they
said. Yeah, who wants to be wrong, Dave? I mean, come on, answer your own question. You can answer your own question.
No, but you know what? When I'm wrong, I mean, own it. It's okay. I mean, this is a crapshoot. You have the brightest minds in the NFL that are wrong all the time. Look, Mitch Trubisky, they took him third. Guys that are terrific quarterbacks went after that. You can admit that you're wrong. There's no shame in admitting you're wrong. I think the shame is doubling down on a mistake and trying to convince people why it was right.
Dave, I would agree with you, but how many people in the NFL or people that cover the sport are willing to come out and admit that they were wrong about an evaluation on a player? That doesn't happen very often. I mean, Ryan Pace, he's not going to come out and publicly admit that he was wrong for taking Trubisky over Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes, but everybody knows he was. I mean, that's just not what they do. I mean, they play the game of CYA, and they don't want to take any accountability for the mistakes. Now, I'm not saying that that's what's going on with Mel and with McShay, but I just there's a gap in terms of what they're saying and what Sam Darnold would be in his current draft class versus the production that we've seen or lack thereof over the past 3 years.
Yeah, this is why anyone that wants to sit here and make the argument that having the second overall pick is great as opposed to the first is out of their minds.
As opposed to one?
Yeah, like, oh, they're no. trying to like...
Asinine comment.
Yeah, like trying to make this like, oh, look at, I mean, there's so many things that Joe Douglas can do. Yeah, there's so many different options that he can, I mean, he could make a mistake. As opposed to, I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars are sitting there going, okay, the card's already filled out.
That's right, it's foolproof.
Good. Rico, what's crazier, saying that it's better to have the second overall pick or saying that maybe the Jaguars will take Zach Wilson over Trevor Lawrence? Which crazier?
Ooh, crazy. Those are right. I mean, those are right there. That's 1A and 1B. The Jacksonville's taking Trevor Lawrence.
Of course they are. And they
of course
should.
They are.
All right, here we go. I mean, Chris, you mentioned Ryan Pace. I was doing some research for the show this morning.
Pace research in your free time.
Well, just sports in general. Uh-huh. You know me, like your stupid video that you sent out. What are you doing in your free time? I'm studying.
Oh, it was a great video.
It was awful. Here we go.
And someone brought this up to me yesterday. They said, what is going on with Rick? I said, what do you mean? And this is the problem. I have to defend you now when people take shots at you. They said, he's so curmudgeonly. Is it because he's up so early? I said, he was always up early. I don't know why. Why? Why are you so...
Because someone has to hold you accountable. Hey,
me accountable. I sent the video to RG. He's like, what a great video that was.
Now stop it. He's trying to make you feel good about
no,
your
he's
video.
Not.
Behind closed doors, he tells me, he's like, Rick, you got to keep doing these videos. Dave stink.
All right, RJ, let's bring you on. Was the video good or did it stink? And be honest.
No, it was good. Now, if we're power ranking, I think Rick's are a level up. I'll be honest. But Rick puts 3 hours into them, so I would expect them
sometimes
to be
sometimes four.
Sometimes four. Sometimes the whole day, Saturday.
But I think the entire family. It's a fun activity.
But I thought yours was very good, Dave. I think Chris's has been good as well.
Very good.
I didn't
think
you needed to throw in the speed limit thing. I think that was a little bit too much.
Well, I have a lot of knowledge. I mean,
you jumped the shark with that one. So Ryan Pace, GM of the Chicago Bears. Chris loves this guy. So here you go. This is some of his highlights. Signed Mike Glennon to a 3-year, $45 million contract. Traded up in the draft to pick Trubisky over Watson and Mahomes. Traded a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles and pays him $20 million while Andy Dalton is, at that time, a free agent. And then what does he do this year? He goes and signs Andy Dalton a year later as a free agent.
Wow. That is some resume, huh?
He is burning through the McCaskey's family's money. Just burning through it.
By the way, Darren Revelle put this out yesterday. The odds, and I know Kay was talking about it on his show, the odds of the Bears to win the Super Bowl before they signed Dalton as opposed to after they signed Dalton?
Yeah, they went down.
They went down considerably.
What was it, 40-1? Now it's 50-1?
But here's my thing, though. If you're Ryan Pace, why go with Andy Dalton rather than just continuing to try to see if you can get something out of Trubisky? I mean, I don't understand it. I mean, the upside for Andy Dalton, I don't think it's worth just pulling the plug on Trubisky if that's the best you can do.
Being a Bears fan has to be so infuriating.
Well, I mean, you think the Jets haven't been able to find a quarterback. Look at the Bears.
They had a chance to. All they had to do was draft Watson at number two versus Trubisky. They took a guy that started one year in college.
Teams bypassed both Watson and Mahomes.
Time out. They could have taken Watson or Mahomes at three. Instead, they traded up to two to take Trubisky.
Guy that started one year in college versus a guy we saw win a national championship.
It is and it was so, at least to me, I remember saying it at the time doing nights, it was so obvious. I was really desperate for the Jets to take Watson. But how the Bears took Trubisky over Watson is, as Joe Namath would say, mind-boggling. All right, Adam Schefter saying the Bears went after big time Russell Wilson yesterday.
Well, I'm told that the Chicago Bears made a quote-unquote very aggressive pursuit to try to pry loose Russell Wilson from the Seahawks, and they were told that the Seahawks were not interested in trading Russell Wilson at this time. Andy Dalton was on the market. Andy Dalton had other interested teams, and the Bears decided to get a deal done, that one-year contract, $10 million, another few million in incentives to become the Chicago Bears starting quarterback.
All right, so there you have it. The deal is done. Andy Dalton to the Chicago Bears. We've been doing the show together, by the way, almost 4 years. It's the first time you've ever seen. Didn't you see the clock? Didn't you see what was happening with the clock? It was red. It was time to go. And you're playing sound. First time ever.
This is the first time for everything. What else? I mean, you want to play more sound now? We're already, I mean, a minute and a half late now.
No, now I feel satiated. I'm good.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.